Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi everyone, welcome back. We have had an interesting conversation, as we usually do in the lead up of our podcast recordings. What often happens is we choose the topic or discussion that speaks to us the most and excites us the most in that moment, as we've realized in the past that we do not need to script it all, we don't need to plan it all, because it's not authentic and it's not why we've started this podcast.
Yes.
So the topic that we spoke about earlier is people that are stuck in their lives, they don't fully realize that they are, and how to kind of unstuck yourself. But more importantly, do you want to unstuck yourself?
Yes. And also for context, Rupali and I are close friends who talk about a lot of other things apart from what we come up with on the podcast.
Yes.
And a lot of times the podcast episodes are kind of an extension of our other conversations, which are very meaningful, and they kind of form the basis of this. So this is kind of flowing from that conversation. And like Rupali said, we know a lot of people who complain about being stuck, or not having the freedom, not having the tools. Being stuck kind of takes care of all of these problems, right? And they carry on talking about it, but then there is no action. And I suppose somewhere we don't relate with that, right?
I think the stage we're at the moment, you and I, we've done so much work on ourselves, and we continue to do so proactively.
Yes.
So we are very much aware when we tap in. We're humans.
Yes.
There are moments where we have emotions that are
difficult
to control or understand or manage. But I think we've reached a stage where we are lucky enough to identify when we're in that moment and have specific tools that we've gathered along the way to tap out of it, whether it takes an hour, a day, or a week.
Yeah.
We work through it, basically. We don't put a Band-Aid on the issue and move on with life, because that Band-Aid's going to come off at some point.
Exactly. And I think the reaction time has been getting smaller and shorter and shorter as we've gone on our journey. And also, I mean, I've maybe repeated this 5 times before we started recording, but this can be hard work.
It's difficult.
It takes a lot of strength, and generally it's the little things, you know, like not wanting to get on the phone with someone you are anticipating a conflict with, or not wanting to fire help who might be doing your head in otherwise. And these are all conflicts that most people would like to avoid. But there's such a cost of not having this conflict and staying in that same zone. And that cost at some point becomes too heavy to kind of keep incurring.
Isn't it so interesting that even despite having done this much work on ourselves, it still somehow feels so counterintuitive to want to stay stuck, to remain comfortable? Should we break that down maybe for someone who has not done as much or learnt as much about this kind of world of things?
Yeah, maybe let's start talking about our own examples that we were also referring to. I mean, we've worked to come to a point where a lot of things in our lives are going really well, and we've manifested this for ourselves. But we still find, Rupali and I both, that there are some niggles that we could tend to focus on. And that might be coming from a place of, you know, finding familiarity in some sort of drama, as I like to call it.
Yes. And really that's where it comes from, right? So like our body is so used to always being in this fight or flight mode. That when actually it is calm, your mind kicks in.
Exactly.
Because it's not familiar with this. It doesn't feel normal. I've seen so many people, and people that are very close to me, that spend a lot of time, effort, and energy to make sure they are busy. Because when they're free, they don't know what to do with themselves.
Totally.
Like, you know, you hear these people saying that, oh, I can't sit still, she can't sit still, he can't sit still. But that's because they're not used to it. They don't know how that what that is. So their body automatically moves into this mode of kind of trying to protect it through familiarity of the busyness.
Yeah. And it could show up in so many different ways, right? Like my recent experience has very much been about a lot of things that I was hoping for a long time kind of lining up at the same time, which means that a lot of manifestations are coming true in the physical plane. We're having like a spiritual discussion here, but also that means that there's a lot of change coming up as well, right? Which is new for the nervous system. And in some ways, my nervous system was just shutting down and making me rest the whole time. Like these past 6 months, I've felt like I rested and slept more than I ever have, to be honest. And that itself was then, you know, playing with my mind. And then I had to kind of understand that this is coming from a place of finding some sort of calm amongst all the change, because it's so new for the nervous system. So this is maybe one aspect of it. But the other aspect could be hiding it under things, like you said, under being busy, under being productive, whereas you could just be, you know, running in a hamster's wheel and not achieving much.
Exactly. It links back to one of the stories we put on our page, saying people, they feel so fulfilled when they've had a busy day. And that's due to something like this. It kind of biology of it all works, and the neurology of it all works, is that it's an example that I've heard many times over. So you may have heard of it too, but as in the listener, you, Kalyani, have 100% heard of it.
Yes.
But when we are kids, we don't know how to walk. And that becomes a challenge, right? But as soon as you start walking, today I don't think about how I need to walk. Similarly, when you're busy, you don't need to think about how to be busy. You're just busy.
Yeah.
But when you're free, your body doesn't know how to be free.
Exactly.
And so you need to figure it out, and kind of, that's why you may resist being free, because we think, oh, I'm sure I'm forgetting something. I'm sure I need to be doing something, but maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shows up, like, really talking about the physical aspects. For me, it shows up as a very heavy feeling in my chest for years. And I didn't even realize it until I got rid of it. Two things used to happen to me all the time. I would wake up with a heavy feeling on in my chest, as if there was literally a weight on my chest. And, you know, like, they make you do Kegel exercises with your pelvic floor if you've been to certain classes, or especially for women's classes during pregnancy, etc. I realized that my pelvic floor would never rest. So for most women, they would get them to practice tightening the pelvic floor. Mine was always so tight that it couldn't tighten anymore, so I would not feel anything there. This would happen, and recently what I've noticed maybe in the last 2-3 years is my jaw gets really tight, and I can really feel, you know, the muscles under my ear. I often have to massage them. I feel like my jaw isn't closing properly, and there's constant tension here. And these are all like very psychosomatic ways of the body telling you that you're holding on to tension, right?
Yes. For anyone that's interested in this topic, I read the most amazing book called Soul Speaks. And that's essentially based on your soul speaking to you through your body.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So it's very literal, where, you know, you sometimes have upper back pain, and that means that you could feel like you have too much weight on your shoulders in the form of responsibility. Your lower back pain persistently may mean that you don't have enough support in your surroundings. And so unless you find that support through whatever means, your back pain will stay no matter how much you go for physio, no matter how much you put painkillers, you whatever it is, it will stay for as long as you don't address that issue, because your soul is telling you something through your body. And so
this is so interesting.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I knew about the knee being a representation of change. And I had knee trouble just when I was going through some change a few years ago. And this comes up in so many things, right? Like if you read Joe Dispenza, or if you go through his content, amongst others, there are so many stories of not just himself, but even people who've heard him and followed his techniques, etc., who've gotten rid of, you know, illnesses.
Chronic illnesses.
Yeah, you know, life-threatening illnesses, because in the end, it all comes down to energy.
Yes. So this is basically, in summary, why we all by default think that obviously I want to be unstuck. Obviously I want this free, amazing life. But these are some of the reasons why you may not want it, because it's familiar.
Yes.
It's not unfamiliar. And when you're in a place that's not familiar to you, your body goes into this, oh my goodness, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to prepare for, even though it's a good a place to be in.
And let's kind of cover a little bit of theory. Between Rupali and I and our courses, we'll have a lot to share in terms of the theory behind this. So let's kind of start breaking down conscious mind, subconscious mind, yes, since we've gone into this direction. And from what I have learned, you please share your inputs as well. The subconscious mind is about, if you think of it as a circle or a pie chart, subconscious mind is about 90% of the pie chart.
Yes.
And it is 6,000 times as powerful as the conscious mind. The numbers might be different, but I think you would have
90%, read very similar, yeah, right?
So that itself tells you a lot. And conscious mind is what controls your actions every day. So everything that you think you're doing, quote unquote, is coming literally from your conscious mind. So all your actions, cooking, working,
anything
analyzing, day-to-day, anything that you do for work, which you give so much importance to, is coming from your conscious mind.
Which is 10%.
And it is 6,000 times less powerful in causing any change or making things happen as your subconscious mind is. And subconscious, as the name suggests, is running in the background, making things happen for you.
Yes.
And it has a big role to play in terms of evolution for protecting us as a species. And that's why the main kind of job assigned to it is to keep you safe, right? And keep the species safe for
to
the
survive,
world.
To survive.
Yeah, exactly. Survival, literally. And this is why a lot of times it goes into the fight or flight mode, etc. And
that's because back in the ancient times, you would literally, if there's an animal around you, you would either have to fight it or you have to flight.
Exactly.
Those were the only two options for survival. Exactly. So our body still carries that.
Yeah, because modern history is such a blip in the whole, yes, timeline that we've kind of worked through as a species in terms of evolution. Back to what we were talking about in terms of the subconscious mind is kind of designed and designated the role to keep us surviving. And with that in mind, it sees anything that's familiar as being comfortable. And that familiarity could sometimes mean toxic situations as well.
Yes.
It could mean anything.
Yes.
So because it likes familiarity over anything else, because it thinks that's your comfort zone, it will carry on attracting similar patterns, similar situations. So you may have seen, you know, in a family, a mom and a daughter would maybe have similar relationships or similar patterns in their relationships. Or
it's like the Stockholm syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Where the person who was kidnapped is suddenly attached by the kidnapper.
Yeah.
Because of the familiarity.
Exactly, exactly. And this plays up in so many different ways. It could also be within the same person's life. As a child, you would have had an experience, positive or negative, and you carry on seeing the effects of that as an adult. So a lot of this is positive and a lot of these patterns do help us, but the ones that don't help us are the ones that keep us stuck.
Yes, and those are the ones that you tend to convince yourself are the right thing for you.
Yes.
Despite within you, you know it's not, but the familiarity of the situation keeps you stuck. And that's why we see a lot of people that are in victim mindset, where they are happy to complain and offload, but they're too scared to take the steps to change it. Because as we said, that's the difficult work. It's empowering because it's within you. We cannot change. And that's something you have to learn through experience. We cannot change people around us.
Mm.
That is like 100%, like it's a fact. But you can change how you react and how you behave. Are you responding or are you reacting? And so I think in a nutshell, the image that comes to my mind is the iceberg, which is also linked to your subconscious, conscious mind. And if you visualize where, you know, the Titanic, it hit this iceberg, the tip is all that people could see, but actually it was the iceberg itself underwater that was the issue, that was the real kind of driver of the entire situation. And so similarly, it's your subconscious mind that drives all of this. And I think through awareness, so as how do you kind of bring more subconscious into your conscious? That is the everyday kind of exercises and things that you're able to do.
Yeah.
And we highly advise that if someone is keen to take steps in the right direction, that you get the help through whatever means works for you.
Yeah, there are so many resources available in this day and age with all different, you know, budgets and different skill sets, etc. as well. So that is something that we'll kind of keep for the end of the episode, maybe.
Yeah, we can share a link in the show notes of a free coaching resource that's available through a platform that I'm a member of.
How amazing is that? And it doesn't always have to be one-on-one coaching. It could be group coaching. It could be listening to more positive stuff, reading more positive stuff, and having positive conversations.
The decision to want to change is the biggest thing you can do for yourself, because as soon as you do that, you see everything from a different light, right? It's like you're wearing a pink sunglasses. Everything has that shade of pink. But the minute you remove that, everything, you see it for what it is in a way.
Exactly.
So that decision helps you do that. And then it's a process to kind of change that. But the most liberating thing I'd say is that it's all within.
I think something that one of my coaches said that's really stuck with me, and that's always a great reminder, is she said something really simple. She said, this is the real work. And she meant to say, in terms of, you know, I was speaking to her about my work at the time and how I was feeling stressed about something, or lack of time and how much I wanted to achieve, etc., etc. And there's never enough time to do, let's say, reflection or meditation or whatever tool that you choose to focus on. And she simply just said, even if you do it for 5 minutes, this is the real work. And it didn't hit me at that time. But now I think it really makes sense, because anytime you choose to make a change, it feels so uncomfortable. Like, you can literally feel it in your body. My reaction normally is I get a bad stomach, like an upset stomach, which really makes sense, because, you know, your lower three chakras, if you want to go there, then they kind of govern your physical reality. So any changes that you make reflect on that, those energy centers. And for me, it's a very physical reaction.
And biologically, your body is entering fight or flight mode. When you're in that mode, all your blood rushes to your limbs because you're meant to fight or flight.
Yes.
And for both of those things, your limbs need to be strong and need the energy and power. So when that happens, naturally, your stomach area lacks the blood and the nutrition, the nourishment. Mm. And if you're constantly living in fight or flight mode, you're not taking care of the base of your body, your system, basically. Yeah. And that results often in people with, you know, tummy issues, your gut issues, you know,
kidney stones, IBS,
that is linked to emotional issues.
Yes.
And so that's just something that, I mean, based on what we've learned, we wanted to share. But what I wanted to come back to was, how do you identify if you're feeling stuck? How do you kind of know whether you're stuck or not?
That's a good place to start, because most people don't even realize it.
Exactly. Yeah. So the easy kind of check is, how do you feel in your body? Do you feel slow, lazy? Do you feel lackluster? Do you feel a lack of motivation, a lack of direction? Do you feel persistent dissatisfaction? Do you feel like you're finding issues with everything in your life? Complaining, blaming.
Constantly
yeah. without really the intention of doing anything about it. Do you feel lack of clarity? Do you feel trapped within your body or mentally? Procrastination.
Yeah.
All of that kind of points to you being stuck.
Yeah, definitely.
Now the next thing you'd need to do is understand and make a decision. Are you okay with that? If you're okay with that, that's great. Go for it. Right? If you're okay with that, perfect. You do you.
Yeah.
But if you're not okay with that, then make a decision to change that.
Yes. Which is where the hard work starts, and what my coach was referring to in terms of being the real work. And it could be uncomfortable in so many different ways, physically, emotionally, definitely a lot of it is uncomfortable. But for me, it's 100% worth going through this discomfort versus staying in that stuck energy or feeling helpless, which is so much worse.
Yeah, completely. I think we are both so aligned in that, because we do a lot of work on ourselves to understand where we're at, what we're doing. We are seeing things playing out a certain way due to the work that we've done, which is quite amazing, actually. So I highly encourage people to take their power back. It's in your hands. Yeah. If you don't want to change it, fine. Yeah. But don't complain.
Yeah.
Is my mindset.
Yeah, 100% I agree.
And if you complain, that's fine too. But yeah. Then you're just going to stay stuck.
Yeah, then just make your peace with that. And I think something that I would like to quickly mention is also when you have done a lot of work, you could have a tendency of seeing everything from that lens of being the overcoached person who's always finding problems in themselves as well. So what helps me with that is just simply mindfulness and acceptance, because that then talks about accepting things as they are. And I think since a lot of us are rational human beings who've been through education systems and stuff, it's so natural for us to sit and analyze every small thing.
Yeah.
But it's But anything anyone else's does, which is normally the trigger for, you know, stuff to come up within us. Let's say if you've had a disagreement with a friend or something, it's never about you. It's about them.
Yeah.
So if you're able to make peace with why it's getting to you, just as a simple example, trust us, the energies start changing and the person behaves differently. And we've seen so many examples of this playing out in our lives. It may not sound very dramatic if we're telling you stories, but they were really dramatic changes for us in situations that we didn't see any solution to, but they just figured themselves out because we changed our own energy.
I read this in Untethered Soul and it just stuck with me ever since. About, it's an example of what kind of highlights what's within you drives your emotions more so than what's outside of you in terms of people or situations. And the example is very simple. Let's say it's a guy, you're a guy. You've dated this girl years ago, okay? She had this red car when you were dating.
Mm.
This particular model of the car, 10 years ago, let's say. And you had a really sad, heavy breakup, really heartbreaking, which you've still held on to, but you've not fully realized that you're still holding on to it, but you have.
Hmm.
Now, each time you pass any red car or that model, that will take you back to that and you'll have this emotion about it. You'll either be in this situation, if it was a bad breakup, you'll be negative about it. Mm. It'll feel heavy.
Mm.
And suddenly in that moment, you forget everything around you and it takes you back to that situation. Mm. Whereas if it's someone else that's next to you that has nothing to do with this red car, didn't live through this experience you've had, they won't even notice the red car.
No, exactly.
So when you're picking up on certain emotions and things that are triggering you deeply or affecting you but aren't affecting other people, it's about what's within you.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't even need to, if you know something is getting to you, you don't even need to know where it's coming from. I used to love the digging part before when I started on my journey in 2014, around that time. I used to love that part because that used to fuel my analysis gene or my need to know. But when so many years later, that doesn't give me any additional satisfaction. It probably adds some element of blaming it on someone else or blaming it on myself. And then you have to again work on forgiveness and stuff like that. Whereas if I'm just able to resolve the trigger where that red car doesn't affect me anymore, then that's gone. I mean, the breakup just resolves itself through resolving the trigger.
Exactly. It's easy, yet it's difficult, right?
Yes, exactly. And
powerful.
Very much so. And I think something else that I would like to introduce in brief is also the relationship between the mind, body, and emotions. And you could basically affect any of these through any of these. What I mean to say is, if you're having bad thoughts in your mind, which leads to sad emotions, your body will probably start feeling really lazy or whatever it shows up as for you. If you are able to either change your thoughts, you know, conventional wisdom would probably say, oh, don't think like that. That doesn't work for me. Instead, if you're able to go for a nice yoga class or go for a Zumba class, something that brings your vibe up, that would in effect make you feel better and your thoughts will begin to change as well, which then affects your reality. Because people pick up on vibes. We're all pure energy in the end, right?
Yeah, you notice, right? When you're in a room, you notice when someone walks in and you're like, oh my goodness, this person has brought such a heavy energy with them. And we literally find ourselves saying it without fully realizing it is this heavy energy they brought with themselves.
Or even on calls, like sometimes you're just like, oh my God, I feel so drained after this call or every time. It could be your near and dear ones as well. But that's literally because they're draining you of that energy because you're connected to them. Sometimes you don't need to be in physical proximity with them as well.
Exactly.
So in that sense, if you're able to kind of influence your energy, whether it's through mind, body or emotions, then it has a ripple effect on the rest of your vibrations.
For our listeners out there, what are practical ways to raise your vibration or to increase your frequency or to be more kind of less heavy or lighter?
Mm.
What are the practical steps or few things that someone could do today without having gone to a coach or anything too complex?
Okay, that's a great question. For me, coming back to my body always really works. And I don't know if it's to do with, once again, being rational beings or kind of being more analytical. I don't know if that's the case, because then the body gives you a very physical aspect to monitor.
Mm.
And it means I move my body, I go for a walk, I do something like that. Or just check in with my body, see where I feel the pain literally, and hug the pain, welcome it, make it feel secure. Because giving it that attention pretty much dissolves it. This is the practice of mindfulness.
So. Yes, it's being so present in it that it's no longer a thing. Because when you're trying to ignore something, it'll keep coming, right?
Yes, and this feels really uncomfortable, I have to say. But it feels uncomfortable for the 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, instead of feeling uncomfortable for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because I've come to a point where very proactively, if I'm aware of something getting to me, I don't want to carry it on.
No, agree. And then another way actually that I also found useful for people that rather use their minds than their bodies. I think going back to your body is always an easy way to shift your energy or your mindset. But if you want to go back to your mind, a daily practice of just doing a couple of things that makes you feel like, wow, this is my life. Even if it means a walk, which is physical, it means a good song, a dance, a movement. It could be
a drink.
A drink, go for a coffee out at home, make your coffee, sit and, you know, it could be anything. Just choose one thing a day. Set the intention to do that one thing that makes you love your life. Your whole situation, your family, your spouse, your kids, your parents could be doing, let them get on with it. Take that 5 minute, 10 minute, half an hour for you and do that one thing that makes you love life. Because through that, you'll slowly realize that actually I am loving my life. They are positive things, because when you get stuck in a cycle, you often tend to forget the other things that are happening. We are so laser focused on the negative things because we're always in this battle mode.
Yeah, but I have a big caveat for what you said. It sounds amazing, but we know so many people who sit with their beverage and think about the same drama that they're trying to change. And then that's not serving the purpose. That's not taking you anywhere where Rupali is trying to point you to. So if you do choose to do something that is kind of more as part of your daily life, whether it's having that hot beverage, like she said, or even watching TV or coloring or whatever it is that makes you really happy and makes you grateful for your life, then be in that experience 100% fully to the point, like if you're watching TV, and I often have to remind myself about this, throw the phone away. If the TV series or movie is about being in a certain world, feel like you're part of that. TV is a tricky one, but if you do anything else, if you're having, let's say, your morning tea, then really savor the tea. Try and kind of feel the sugar in that, feel the cream come through, etc.
I agree with you. What these little things do is that they remind you and they force you into doing things that you like.
Yes.
Versus just letting your day play out the way it plays out, because then you don't have any control over it. So you deciding to do something is you taking control of that half an hour or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, acknowledge that, oh, I did this and I liked it.
Yes.
I did this, I liked it, and I want to do more of it.
Exactly.
One other thing you can do is whatever it is that works for you, where you feel like you've lost track of time, where you feel like you're in this flow state. Find something like that. For people, it could be dance, music, instruments,
painting.
It could be painting, it could be anything, meditation for some, anything. Those are practical things you could do. Yeah. Now, if all of this feels like it's a little far removed for you or not practical for you, what you can do is try something new and exciting. It could be big or small. It could be a skydive, or it could be when you're walking, when you're going on your evening walk, take a different route.
Yeah.
It could be something as little as that, right? Try something new, do something different. We've all heard of the thing where you say, where people comb their hair with the left hand, try it with your right hand. Little things like that. You can connect with friends, but not, I think, even with friends and people, it's easy to get stuck in this loop of a conversation at times. So be very mindful about what conversation you're engaging in, how you're kind of being in that situation. Have that, you know, that connection with someone, that deep, open heart connection. I think that's what we value with our conversations, right? It's just, we kind of just dive straight in.
Yeah.
And which makes it so great.
Yeah.
The other thing is just show yourself some love. You know, even if it means you might have heard of it online on TED Talks, you know, the high five in the mirror every morning, a little sticky on your mirror saying, I love you.
Affirmations. Yeah.
Affirmations. Any form that shows you that you love you is very, very important, because unless you value yourself and you love yourself, it's not going to show up in your reality in the way you like it to. You can convince yourself that it has, but you know whether it has or not.
Yeah. There's a very interesting book that was recommended by someone I saw at Prana House, actually, which is called The Secret Life of Water. And that talks about the effect of words on water, you know, on a very physical level, photographed with a microscope or something. And we're literally 70% water. So it's words, the ball is in our court, basically. After this amazing conversation, I think we're kind of leaving you with feeling empowered and equipped with a lot of tools that you can choose to exercise and choose to see if you want to let go of the red car or not.
Yes, I'd just like to add that it's easy to stay in your situation. It's easy to move out of it. It's your choice altogether. No one's a victim. And so I encourage you to take steps that take you to a better life, better future. And if there's any thoughts, concerns, anything that you have that you'd like to share with us or like us to address, then do, you know, reach out on our social media. Kalyani and I are very open with that. We are engaged on Instagram and our social media channels. So please reach out with your questions, thoughts and ideas.
Yes, for sure. We'll be back next week.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.